We've had a good week and a half of meetings with our scouts and our coaches, all of us together, taking things position by position and working through each player, kind of covering everything we can cover on them, everything possible, and working on formulating a plan. We have a couple more meetings to go, but looking forward to Thursday night. Questions?
One of you guys, Russell, I guess maybe you, the two top guards, Womack and Cooper, I wonder if you'd be able to kind of compare them in your eyes, what different strengths they have, and also about the guards in general, the difference between those top two guys and maybe the next.
Well, it's a good group of guards just overall. I think there's some depth there in that group, and there are a lot of players that we like. As far as those two guys go, they are different. I think Womack is more of a power type player, and our guy from North Carolina,
Cooper,
is more of an athlete, a little more of a space player. So they're different, but they're both very talented and very good. There's some difference, obviously, because of where they're going. But I think that's not to slight those other guards and say they wouldn't be good starters in the league.
How do you see DJ Fluker as a guard or a tackle?
Tackle.
Okay, no question about
that. How certain are you know what position you're going to draft in the first round, or do you think it could be one of three or four at this point?
I think it could be one of three or four. I don't think it's a certainty right now at this point. Now, maybe it becomes that way as we get a little closer. But I don't think enough's known about kind of the top 10 and how that's going to go, really, to say.
Is there less certainty at the top of this draft in terms of what teams ahead of you are going to view than maybe in typical years in the top 10?
I think there probably is. I think every year is different. Some years you really know kind of how it's going to go, and in other years you've kind of got to make your best guess and really wait and see what happens.
Any idea for an estimate how many schools you visited, how many prospects you evaluated during this whole process?
Just us as a group?
Right.
Yeah, I can't even. I mean, it's hundreds, you know. I probably someday should kind of keep up with that, but – you know, we cover every school with any kind of prospect, small or large.
The past couple of years, there were only three corners drafted in the first round. How does this class compare with those years?
It's a good class. It's a good corner class. There's a lot of depth in at that position as well. I think there's pretty much any kind of corner you'd want, whether it's a guy to play press man or zone player or whatever, but I think it's a good class and there's a lot of depth.
Is it on the cornerbacks, with the possibility that maybe you guys might do more blitzing last year, I wonder if your press corner is something that's more of a priority in that regard?
You want to answer that question?
Probably a little bit more than it has in the past. We'll definitely look for a corner. If there's one that we like at the time we're picking that has those kind of abilities, that can definitely – get more, get in your face more, you know, play a little more man-to-man.
How much of a concern is Milner's, I guess, health situation? Is that something you guys look closely at?
Yeah, we look at all those guys. I mean, and just try to make the best guess we can on, not really guess, just formulate an opinion by what our doctors say and what they think and how they feel it's going to work out. So we've worked through all that. Probably don't want to comment on any medicals.
Wondering if sort of the same way you talked about the two guards, maybe kind of the two of the top defensive tackles, Floyd and Lelay, I think his name is. What kind of strengths, different kind of players do they?
Well, they're both just really good all-around players. I mean, I think Floyd's probably more of a true three. But I think they could play up and down the line. I mean, they're both really good players. Guys, it should help a team.
You're looking for, is Bo maybe as an insurance for Colin McCarthy, are you also looking for a middle linebacker in this draft as well?
Well, I think, you know, Munch, you can talk a little bit, but I think that what we're looking for is add competition everywhere. And so I don't see there being many positions where we feel like we're set or we're done.
Yeah, and we're just going to add, I think, linebacker too, because they can do so much. You can play a lot of them besides with special teams, different packages, and nickel, a 4-3 linebacker, nickel linebacker. So, yeah, I think, like Rustin said, I think that's a position almost every draft you usually come out with one as you go through, just because there's such good athletes out there and they can do so much to help you win on a Sunday. So, yeah, just continue to look for guys that can help to compete and make the roster stronger.
I feel like, I guess, this is Rustin and Mike both as well. There's been a lot of talk about interior offensive linemen. You've got two tackles who not get any younger, and Bruce and Stewart. Stewart coming off an injury. Is offensive tackle the need for this team as well at this point, or do you feel pretty good about what you have there? And then you got Otto, Stingley.
Well, I mean, we're fortunate to have good tackles. And I think that's one of those things where if you've ever not had tackles, then you know how fortunate we are because they're difficult to find and difficult to get. But, you know, there really no position is probably out of play for us. And I think that's one of those positions. People say you can't have too many good defensive linemen. I don't think you could have too many good tackles either.
Like, you've added so much in free agency this year versus – 2 years ago, you had the draft without free agency. Last year, you couldn't do as much. Do you look at the draft sort of with a different perspective this time in terms of maybe you don't need the immediate help as much as you have?
Well, I think it just gives us a little more versatility on what we're doing. When you add the guys we're able to add, and just having them finally in the building the last couple of days, it's been nice to see these guys interacting with each other, getting to know each other. It makes you feel even better about the guys we brought in already. So, yeah, I think you go in the draft now with, just trying to find 9 more guys that can come in and compete, make this an even a stronger roster, and you can, pick and choose maybe who you want as you go through draft, what's best available, what's the best athlete, who gives us the best chance to win as we go through the different rounds.
You've talked about, it's been a while since this team has picked an offensive lineman high in the draft. Your personal history, you like this group too, and you feel like you're still going to get one in the first couple of rounds somehow?
Yeah, I think like they were talking earlier, Rustin was saying, there's everyone's talking about the top two guards, which we all know are going to be good football players, but there's about 3 or 4 behind them that have a really good chance to come in and start this year also for teams like us or like somebody else, so that can come in and compete right away. So I think that's the good thing, that it is a position that we're still looking to add as we go forward, but that there's options, that it's not just, hey, if we don't get these two, you kind of have to wait till next year. I think there's an opportunity in this draft to wait if you want to and do something else in another position and know that you can still get an offensive lineman later in the draft.
Is there a big drop off or a big difference between the Womack and Cooper, maybe the next group, the Warford and some other guys?
I don't know if there's a huge drop. Well, I mean, to me, if they have the potential to come in and start, they may not be. I think we look at now is, maybe different experiences they had in college, how well they've been developed. Some of the guys going to a bigger school versus a smaller school where you don't play against the same type of competition. So I think you have to rely then on coaching them. Once you get one of those guys in here, and like I'm saying, there's guys that have the ability, have the size, have everything you want. Maybe there's 4 or 5 different guards, for example, that could come in and play. Now it's, they have the capability. Now it's just a matter of us getting them ready when they came in here. So that's what's exciting, that there are guys that have a lot of the tools in place. It's just a matter of now being coached.
All the talk's been about detailed are his reports on guards?
Oh, they're very detailed. Shoot. This is not only guards, it's everything. He's got an opinion on it all, and I've heard all his opinions. Probably going to hear it a few more times. But
The fun part.
No, but he It's great having he and Bruce and just being able to talk about the position with those guys and really offensive line in general, kind of what they're looking for, what they feel can be successful in the league. And I think they've done a good job together of looking at these offensive linemen.
I was going to say, obviously you trust your scouts, but mm-hmm. In this case, do those two guys, is what they say maybe carry a little more weight?
Well, I mean, obviously, he always carries a lot of weight, but our scouts did a good job as well. They put a lot of time and effort, and they have strong opinions from a lot of work. You never want to discount that. If a guy's been to a school two or three times, he's seen a guy play a couple of times, it's hard just to discount that off some film that you did at a workout. But it definitely helps to have people you have confidence in on your coaching staff and your head coach, especially when you're picking a position.
In terms of all the talk has been about guards, with Fernando coming back and he has versatility, and a couple of these guys that you've signed can play center or guard, how much thought have you given to making one of them the starting guard and drafting a center?
Well, I mean, we've looked at all scenarios. The good thing about what we have here and what we brought in is they're versatile. You know, those guys can all play center too, for the most part. And so from that standpoint, we can go either way. And what we've tried to do is bring some guys that could play more than one position in. Well, we're trying to do that on offense. We're trying to do that on defense. And that position is no different. It's probably as important at that position as any.
Along those lines, those defensive tackles you talked about before, Floyd and Bautilele, are they versatile? Where do you see each of those guys being able to play on a defensive line?
I think they're both more inside players. Maybe the Utah kid could play outside and be a strong side end or something like that. But for the most part, those guys are inside, three technique noses.
Guys like Deion Jordan, Rakevious Mingo, great size, but they're light. The next level, do they have to switch positions? You see them in a different role?
Well, I think you have to decide when you take a guy that's talented like both of those guys are and they're going to be drafted very high is how you are going to use them and how they fit, because they definitely can add to your defense, but you have to find a way to get them on the field so they can do that. The things you mentioned, the size, things like that. So you have to have packages, and that's the advantage sometimes with defense is that you can create ways to get them on the field. They don't have to play 60 or 70 snaps. They could help you on special teams. They could help you where they're out there 40, 50 plays a game where they can make a difference. Those are the kind of guys like Jordan that can change a game like we saw Javon do. I mean, we saw how fast a defensive lineman can swat the ball out of a quarterback's hand. The game changes. So those are the kind of guys that definitely probably would not play a lot of the game, 60 or 70 snaps, because of their size, and you want to keep them going throughout the season, and it's hard to fit in a particular system because everyone tries to figure out those guys, well, they're 3-4, are they 4-3? They're football players. So it's just a matter of do they fit with your team at the time that you'd have to pick them, and I think that's what you have to decide when it's your turn to pick.
I think that's one thing that, you do always have to have is a plan. Whoever you pick, we always talk about what the plan is for that player. And so whenever we pick a guy, we'll have that in place, and that's what we'll follow, and that's what's going to give them the best chance to succeed.
Do you prefer them on the lighter side, or do you like the more traditional end with the weight that we're accustomed to, 280, 270, 290? Do you like them on the lighter side? Which one would you prefer?
Depending on which position you're playing. If you're playing a defensive end or what you're trying to get out of them, obviously you like the best of both worlds. You like the guy to be that 275, 280. Well, again, I'll take Reggie White that was 320 that can do both. So, I mean, you like to have a guy that can do it all and never leave the field and play every single down for you. But so I think it's just a matter of how he fits your system. Like Rustin said, whatever our plan is for him, I don't think there's any magical number to the size. Some guys can manage. I had centers, for example, Stefanowski played at 255. Kevin White played at 265. Those guys are great football players because they play with leverage and technique and things like that. So I think all these guys are different. I don't think you can't get hung up on the weight unless you see it as a problem when you turn the film on, or if you're going to ask him to do something that he just can't do because of his size. You can't line him up over a tackle or over a tackle where he's going to get double teamed. So those are the things. If you have a plan, I don't think the size is as big a deal. It's just a matter of if he fits what you're doing.
I mean, would it be nice to have a piece like that, something different than what you how much would that help if you look at different packages, different looks, if you got a guy that's different from everybody else?
Well, I think that's what you're looking to see if you have a plan. If there's someone out there that gives you that, that you know flexibility that you don't have? Does he fit in what you're doing, what we're going to do in defense? I mean, there's a lot of factors that are taking place, and is the guy there when you're going to pick? And so, yeah, we consider all those things. Like Rustin said, we go through the draft. That's the first question that he'll ask when the coaches are up there is, how does he fit? I mean, there's a lot of great players in this draft, but they don't all fit with what we do on offense or defense. It would be hard to get them in the game, hard to make plays. We'll be asking them to do things that they wouldn't be as successful at. So I think you have to weigh all those things because you only get so many picks. You know, we can't go out and sign 20 of these guys. You know, we get one guy in each. You know, a lot of those guys are going to be gone by the time we pick in the second round. So there's not a lot. You have to make a decision on what's best overall for your football team and maybe what else you can get in that draft later on.
Rustin, what are your thoughts on Zedianis? If he's a bit of a risk at all, or do you see him as a guy who kind of come in right away?
He's just a talented guy that, you know, and there are these guys like this that have come in and played well, but he's a talented guy that hadn't played a lot of football. And, you know, but he has all the traits to do it at a premium position. So only time's going to tell, you know, how that's going to go for him. But he has all the physical attributes to do it.
Rustin, from a league-wide perspective, are you surprised that guys like Anquan Boldin have only garnered low-round picks for their services?
Well, I just think, you know, as far as trades are concerned, it's really what the market bears. Teams aren't necessarily willing to give up picks for players as much anymore, especially big picks, although there have been some recent trades. But I think it's just kind of, especially when you're talking about an older player, I think typically the price goes down.
Because of that, do you expect Kenny and Nate to be there in training camp?
Yeah.
I mean, there's been some speculation about Nate, his future. Do you anticipate him being a guy that could be available for other teams this weekend? Or
no, I don't.
In terms of the league, usually when we get to this point, most of the teams seem to have a good idea of what the top three, four, five picks are going to shake out like. The media a lot of times picks up on it. But this year it seems like everybody's all over the board. Do you guys think you have an idea of what the teams are going to do and what might be available there at 10, or is it a little more difficult to sort that out this year?
Well, I think it's more difficult this year, and I think that it changes from year to year. Sometimes you have a great feel for what's going to happen. Other times you don't. And I would say this year is one of those years that's a little more unpredictable.
Mike, is there an update on where Dave Stewart stands in terms of
recovery? He's doing well. He's doing got his weight back up, he's been here every day. So we assume he'll be part of the off-season program once it progresses, like into the summer months, into June, things like that. But he's doing well. He should be back ready to go this season.
Obviously, all the coaches, you know, have a say in what you have this weekend. Does Greg Williams have – how much of a say does he have? Or is anything he would necessarily like to fit him?
I think all the coaches, like you said, have the same amount of input. I think it's a great system the way we have it set up to where – the coaches get a voice. I mean, as we go up there and cover the position or in the defense case for this reason, you know, Greg was in there for all those meetings. So if you watched a guy you had an opinion on or something you heard about someone, you had your chance to voice it with all the scouts there and myself and Rustin. So everyone, I think the coaches enjoy that because they get a chance to speak up and say how a certain player will fit the system, why they'd want him, you know, see how much they'll fight for him, if the guy they really want or don't want. And You have some good discussions that way, which I think are really good, and you continue those next couple of days. And he'll you know all the coaches get a voice, but like Rustin said, the guys that really know these players are the scouts. I mean, these guys do an unbelievable job spending time with these guys. It's almost like they know them so well, and they know the ins and the outs. So their opinions on these guys is huge, and I think together it helps us make good decisions.
You still need I know you've got brought in Pollard and Wilson to help out at the safety position, but is that still maybe a target area to find a long-term answer for somebody who can play and be in the lineup regularly 2, 3, 4 years down the road?
Well, I think, I think safety is one of those positions where it's a pretty good year this year. Really defensively, there's nothing we couldn't do to try to help our team. I mean, you can't pick a position and say we're good. So I don't think that safety is any different. I think we'll continue to look for the best football players we can and try to create as much competition as we can and improve our team that way.
You're on the clock. Most of that 15 minutes used debating between, say, one or two players, or hearing if somebody's going to make you an offer you can't refuse?
I would hope the debating's finished by then and there's no debating. And that, you know, I think I told you guys before where we try to have guys lined up in every round for every pick and then and go from there, and we have them in order. So the discussion by that point in time should have been done. And then, you know, you wait to see if you get any calls, anybody calls you for trades, if that's what you want to do. And then eventually, more than likely, you go ahead and make the pick.
Is there a guy that you wouldn't even wait, let the time go for, just say?
No, I think we'd always listen and kind of see what happened and comes available. But there comes a certain time you pretty much know you're not going to get a call, or if you did, it's not going to be something that works out for you.
Is there a guy you'd be willing to make a trade up for?
I wouldn't rule anything out. I really wouldn't. So we just have to wait and see.
How many players, I guess, have a top 10 grade on?
10?
Yeah, we got 10 shots. No, I mean, it's there are plenty of players that have that kind of grade on them, so it'll be good.
The conversation's already started. Maybe it may have started weeks ago. Teams may be interested in moving up, or
You always have those conversations. That never changes. I mean, those conversations happen every week leading up to the draft, and sometimes it can be serious, and sometimes it can just be feelers. And everybody trying to leave their options open.
You mentioned that maybe that you might be interested in a press type corner. Are there a number of guys in this year's draft that are good in that particular field? Do you see a good crop in terms of corners that can play press?
Yeah, I think there are. As I said, it's a good crop of corners that can play press, guys that are cover two guys, zone players. There's some big corners that are talented players that, you know, those are typically the best press guys. And then, you know, there's also some guys that will be good nickel players, really good nickel players that may fit that role more. But I really think it's a pretty good year, and there are a lot of corners that we like. But as far as press guys go, yeah, there's a good number of those players.
Is size, you mentioned size there too, is that a little bit of a priority also in the cornerbacks?
I think so, yeah.
Mike, Jake said yesterday that Kenny's looked really well. He's looked really good with his knee. Have you seen that out of him so far?
Well, we have not. The phase one, we're only allowed to watch having meetings, so we're not part of the workouts right now, but we've heard very good things about him. And yeah, I think he's excited because he hasn't needed surgery this offseason. He's been able to just kind of relax a little bit when the season ended. From what I heard, he's been in the weight room, and obviously he looks good physically. And I think that's just a mental lift for him, that he's not struggling to wonder if he's going to be ready for training camp this year. So that's a positive for him and for us.
How was the attendance, I guess, first day?
Good. I think it's what we hoped it'd be, just getting started. And like I said, had our first team meeting yesterday in here, and it was good to see everyone back. And a lot, you know, it's like almost like that first day of school. Everyone's excited to get back to work and meet some of the new teammates and get started, get through with the coaches. You know, we've had a few coaching changes also. We're changing things up offensive, defensive-wise, scheme-wise a little bit. So we're able to start with the meeting phase a little bit, and basically most of the time is being spent in the weight room and on the field with conditioning. So it's just good to get it started again. You know, we got a nice 9-week program to go, and looking forward to that, and then obviously adding to it this weekend.
What was several players talked about your message to them yesterday. How did you characterize what you kind of told them right out of the gate?
Just refocus them. I mean, on what the mission is ahead. I think we still got a long way to go, so you're not going to get too carried away with that. But I think just what the expectations are, what we're expecting out of them, what we expect as a staff. Kind of gave them a recap of what's happened since we last met in this room. After our last game of the year last year on New Year's Eve, of kind of what's gone on with the organization as far as personnel and with the coaching staff and kind of what our expectations are going into April, you know, this month here and getting started with our 9-week program. So I think it was, I wanted to kind of get them all refocused on that as we get back to work. And they were very attentive, very excited, and just looking forward to getting on the field with them.
I mean, this is probably maybe a question for both Mike and Rust. I mean, is there any concern that you guys will be too new of a team in 2013 to get 12 free agents if all these draft picks stick? I mean, a third of your team could be different from last year. Is that a good thing, or is there put maybe a sense of urgency on coming together sooner?
Well, I think it's a good thing. I think that's the whole part about – I think that's why the excitement yesterday was about getting these guys back in here. And yeah, it is important for them to come together as a team. Every team has to do that every year. You have turnover every year. The Ravens just won the Super Bowl, and there's a bunch of turnover there. That's just how this league is. So it is important to come together. And I think the most important thing was that the kind of guys we brought in here, we just didn't bring in 12 guys. We think we brought in 12 guys that have talent. They're going to bring some playoff experience to this football team. That maybe we haven't had, just a lot of things we think the character. I think we're about a lot of guys that are going to make a difference that way also. So, no, I think it's definitely a challenge every year for every team to kind of come together in a short period of time. And this is why the 9 weeks is so important, that we get to know each other and have great attendance, like you mentioned, do a great job here in the draft so we can add, you know, some more talent to that group. The rookies get to join in for about 7 weeks with us before we even go to training camp. So it's plenty of time to be ready to go. Come training camp.
How do you go about evaluating a guy like Marcus Lattimore? Because obviously pre-injury, he's a different grade than after the injury, post-injury. So how do you go about figuring out where he fits in on draft day?
Well, I think, you know, you rely on your trainers and your doctors to kind of give you a feel for what the prognosis is on him. And then you go off what he has been, which is a special player with a special makeup, and just kind of go from there. I mean, unfortunately, he had a tough injury that set him back. But I think really you have to go off what you've seen in the past, and then the bottom line is just going to be how healthy he's going to be and how soon he'll be healthy.
Anything else?
Coach, how long do you think for Jake, for him to get to 100%, you expect him 100% start of training camp, end of training camp, preseason?
Yeah, you know, I would assume by training camp he's going to be feeling really good. He's already, if you ask him, feels great. He doesn't have to worry about getting hit. That's probably the only thing with his shoulder, not throwing shoulder, is that he wouldn't get hit. And obviously with the things we're doing, especially these next 5 weeks, he's able to throw the receivers, do those type of things. So he's lifting. He's doing everything he wants to do that way, which is good. So we'd assume by training camp, and again, as you know, in camp he's not going to get hit either. Or there'll be consequences to that. But he won't get hit in camp. So that's the thing is, I think by camp he'll be fine. He won't even be thinking about his shoulder. I think he barely is now, is the way he competes. So I don't think that'll be hold him back at all.
He expects to work in June. I mean, is that your expectation for him?
Yeah, I think he'll be able to do everything. And again, like I said, this time of year, you know, even when we get into the mini camps and OTAs, I mean, there's the quarterbacks. You just got to be careful you don't get tripped and fall. You don't want him to fall on his shoulder or something along those lines, but I think he'll be fine. I don't think there's any concern that way at all. We'll be smart with it and make sure he's not doing too much, but he'll have plenty of work to where he'll get used to his receivers, used to the offensive line, that type of thing. We'll be able to get through all that over the next 9 weeks.
Rustin, you said in the past that your focus is best player available in the draft. Mm-hmm. You guys both talked about some holes at the end of the season. Do you feel like with the 12 guys you brought in, that you can totally stick with the best player available, or is there some need-based thoughts that are going to stick in this draft?
I think it definitely helps us, you know, as active as we were in free agency and the positions we brought in. I think it'll definitely help us there, be a little more flexible in what we can do in the draft. We'll always look at needs, and best player available is the guy that stands out. He's on a different level than everybody else. And now I think when people say that, that's what they mean. If guys are on the same level, most teams lean toward need.
Mike,